Last week, I asked you, what is your vocation? And if you are like most people, we would have said things like, well, I'm a teacher, I'm an electrician, I'm an office manager, banker, or mechanic. And indeed, you look up the definition of vocation, and oftentimes it talks about our careers or in employment. But that's not how it originally came about, the word. Merriam-Webster's online dictionary mentions it, that it comes from the Latin word that means to summons, to call, and defines it this way, a summons or strong inclination to a particular state of course or action, especially a divine call to the religious life, or an entry into the priesthood or religious order, or work in which a person is employed. So what Merriam-Webster has done is actually not only told you what it means, but actually told you how it has become distorted. Over the period of time, some churches have said that vocation and calling only refers to like priests or ministers or missionaries. But that's not what the idea is. It is actually about our calling as Christians to a religious life, not to a religious order. You know, to a faith. Now, some other churches, in trying to answer the idea of vocation being a call to priesthood, is that it's just about employment. Well, that's not right either. So we want to avoid those two different distortions of it and understand that it is our vocation is our calling to be Christ followers. And we have an umbrella verse that covers this, out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which very clearly tells us what our calling is. It says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." So that's the big umbrella. All of us have been called to proclaim, to make known the excellencies of God. However, there are some things that we each do individually, which would be covered in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship." And workmanship means masterpiece, craftsmanship. So basically, in the verses before this, tells us that we're saved by grace and not by our works. So that when we recognize our need for Christ, our need for salvation, we recognize our own sinfulness, our own brokenness, that we confess Christ as Lord and Savior, recognizing really that we are more beloved by God than broken. And so we become his workmanship. He's creating something new in us. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, not from good works, but to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that means that we all have different abilities, different talents, different gifts that we can use. Now, God doesn't call us and tell us to do things that we're not capable of doing. There might be some gifts and talents and abilities that are dormant within us that need to be developed, but he doesn't ask us to do things that are beyond our ability, our inspired ability. Now, last week when we talked about this, we looked at Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18, verse 1 through 3. Husband and wife team. So you might want to remember that's a couple out of the Bible for trivia. You know? Now you have to decide if I'm even going to ask that question, right? So, but it says this, "After Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded them to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade." So we looked at their lives in line of vocation last week and how we are to be good stewards of our careers, how we are to live out our vocation in our career. They were tent makers. And now, I said last week that we would look at them again today about living out their vocation in church. And that's what we're going to do. So being a good steward of our vocation, we've already seen several things this month. At the very beginning, we talked about taking care of your family, helping those in need. That would be being a good steward in our community. You know, making sure our families are provided for, making sure people that we know who are in need, we help them with, or even people we don't know, or given to charities and organizations that help to make the community better, and especially to proclaim the gospel. Last week, we talked about being a good steward of your vocation in your career and how important that is. That even if your career doesn't really line up and seem to be a part of your vocation, you can bring your vocation to your employment by being a great employee, recognizing that you're not just working for that company, you're ultimately working for Christ. And then today, we're going to talk about what it means to have this good stewardship of your vocation in your church. So let's look at Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3 again. So the Apostle Paul left Athens. He heard about Priscilla and Aquila, and he went to see them. So when we look at this passage, one of the first things that we notice about being a good steward in your church is the need to be known. And we all have a need to be known. So, we want people to know us, but we should also want to know them. Now, being known is a two-way street. Okay, so that's very important to understand. You know, it's like when I'm talking to friends if I call them after having talked to them for several years, they go, oh, hey, I haven't heard from you in a long time. I went, oh, it's so good that you called. Where have you been? And then sometimes I start saying, hey, you know, I made a discovery. Oh, what did you discover? It's something really fascinating about telephones. They say, well, what is it? I said, yeah, they work two ways. You know, that you could have called me too. You know, and that's something that's very important. Look what Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 2 says. And he went to see them, because he was of the same trade. He stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. So he had learned about their faith. He had learned about what they did, and he went to see them. So he made sure that they knew, that he was able to spend time with them to get to know them. Listen, when you're sitting with somebody working day in and day out with them, you start seeing them, and you start knowing them. You see them in good and bad times. So there is this need to be known and a need to know people. It didn't just stop there, though. It continued. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, when Paul was writing back to the Corinthian Christians after he had left and took Priscilla and Aquila with him, he says this, "The churches of Asia send you greetings, Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, and send you hearty greetings in the Lord." So you notice that now they are still known. They're still known in Corinth. Their reputation has remained strong. And then we also see that they're not only known, but there's a belonging. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, you also notice it says this, "The churches of Asia send you greetings, Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord." So they are actually now not just tent makers, but they are hosting a church within their home. We would probably consider that probably a small group that's coming there. Now, what do you think would be a primary gift or ability that they would have to do this? It would probably be hospitality. You know, it's just opening up their home and belonging to a group. So we recognize, and Paul is saying, not only that them, naming them, but there's also a group of people who are identified as meeting there in their home. And that is actually talking about membership. Now, I know in the Christian world, there's a lot of debate back and forth as well. Should churches have formal memberships or not? Really, when you read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, they really kept track of people. They kept track of everything. You know, you would think it would be crazy and foolish of us if we didn't keep track of money, right? If we just said, oh, yeah, thanks for giving. We don't know where it all went. But you know, why do we do that? It's because it's important. Well, if money's important to keep track of, don't you think people would be important to keep track of? And sometimes we forget the importance of membership. Now, did the New Testament churches have some sort of formal membership? It doesn't specifically say it does. It doesn't say anything against it, but there's hints that they probably had something. For instance, in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So clearly there was some number keeping, and they knew who was being added. Also in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Therefore, brothers," talking about the first deacons being selected because there was a conflict of taking care of some widows in the church, and the apostles gave them the solution. "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So the whole idea here is that there is got to be some way of taking an election. They're electing in some way. We don't know how they're doing it, but they're choosing. And they're choosing from a group so they know who it is and who it isn't. So that's one of the reasons why we look at membership. But also, we live in a time that we are members. How many of you are members of a gym or a member of a union or a member of a book club, a member of some sort of music sharing thing? Whatever it might be, we tend to be members of things. Or if you have a social media account, you have to sign up and kind of become a part of that community. So if those things are important enough to put our name to, shouldn't church be important enough to put our names to? So we also see that they didn't just belong, but Aquila and Priscilla became more than just tent makers and host of churches. Look what it says in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26. "Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John." So he wasn't brought up to speed about everything about Jesus. Gifted speaker. "He began to speak boldly in a synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Now you notice they're not the itinerant preacher. They're not the itinerant evangelist or pastor. They're not the one who's making public speeches. But they hung out with Paul for years. They knew doctrine. And as they were sitting there listening to Apollos, they thought, there's some things he's missing. So they didn't confront him in public. They took him aside. They were very discreet. And then they were encouraging to him. And they explained things. So they were practicing, they were using their skills to disciple. We still don't ever get the idea that they became public speakers. But they were using their abilities in a greater fashion. So we just see a growth in them as they serve the Lord. And we also see that they became very key to Paul's ministry. When Paul was writing to the Romans, he said, "Greet Prisca and Aquila," same people, Priscilla, Prisca is just a shortened version, "my fellow workers in Christ, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well." So as he's writing these Roman Christians, they were familiar. Priscilla and Aquila were there doing some kind of ministry. And then also in 2 Timothy, as Paul's writing back to Timothy later in life, and Aquila and Priscilla are back in Ephesus, he says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." So we see that they're named again and again. Just going about living their lives. We don't know a whole lot about what they're doing, but we know that they're using their abilities to serve the Lord. So they were known, then they belonged, and then they became exactly what God wanted them to do. Now, every year we always take a Sunday during church to kind of do a look back at last year. We do it because sometimes we just forget all the things that we did and during a year. And it's helpful for us to look back. It's also helpful to let you know how we've tried to be a good steward of your treasure, of your giving, but also of your time and of your talent. And I think it's also helps us to understand that as we're entering into this next year, some of the things that we will continue to do, and maybe the things that we may not do, or maybe there are things that we'll expand on doing. And so let's just take some time and look back, because we're trying to find ways of using all of our abilities, whether they're great or small, because even a small ability can be used in tremendous service to the Lord. Now, we did that last February during our Love Your Neighbor Month. We were asked if we could do something to kind of encourage the staff at Franklin Square Hospital on one of their particular floors, but we were also greatly restricted about what we could take there because of the COVID restrictions still in place. So we took a part of our worship service, we cut the service short, and we wrote cards. We had stations up all throughout the auditorium and out in the lobby where you could go and write cards to nurses, to doctors, to custodians, to techs, you know, to tech people, to the transporters. And a bunch of you did that. Almost everybody did that. And some people stayed and wrote almost at every station. And we really appreciated that. And it really made a big impact. You know, what did it take? It took all of us maybe about 15 minutes of time on Sunday morning to write hundreds of cards, you know, to people. In March, you know, one of the things that we've been continuing to do is adding security cameras to our facility to know what's happening, especially during the week when we're in the office, so we can kind of glance up to see different things. If we hear a noise or something, it's always helpful. Or if the alarm is going off at 2 in the morning and I get a phone call before I come over, I can look and see if anybody's running through the building. So that's very helpful. And that's because we have people who will put the cameras in, you know, during the week. Our women and our women's ministry, they've been very active this last year. They had a retreat in April. And that just doesn't happen. They don't just say, hey, let's meet on such and such a weekend and have a good time. Everything has to be planned and coordinated. The spaces have to be researched where we can house everybody, what's going to be conducive for everybody, what is the food going to be, what's the program going to be. Then they also, they turned right around and had a women's tea in May, and they were a little wondering if that was too soon back-to-back, but it worked just fine because there wasn't just one person doing it. There was a group of people doing it. You know, and when we work together, it just does so much more. We also had our youth yard sales in May, one of them. We had one in the fall also that helped collect money to send the youth to summer camp, to Skycroft Retreat Center, which is the very next slide, is showing you the youth that went there. And, you know, Craig and Trish have been our youth workers for about 8 years now. So I think they've been to youth camp 8 times. And now, youth camp 8 times, that is in youth camp years like 48. So they went and they were a part of that, and we really appreciate that. Some of the mundane things that we did that actually were kind of exciting is that we were able to get the parking lot redone. That was $70,000 that we paid on that, but we didn't have to borrow a penny because, first, you've been very generous and allowing God's generosity to flow through you. And plus, we've been very careful about how we spend money. And we were able to negotiate the cost of the lot down, which was always exciting. But it's so nice not to have all the bumps and the things that, you know, coming in here and just watching the parking lot disintegrate. We did it right before we had VBS, which VBS returned for the first time since COVID last year. And again, it doesn't just happen. You know, Patty is here long days getting things ready as the director. You know, she might call it a week, but there's probably times at like 10, 11 o'clock at night when she's doing things, she said, it is like eternity, you know, and she's preparing. So we recognize that, you know, it's just not her. It's the training of people. It's the group of people that's in the middle, and it's not just them. There's other people who have helped during the day, maybe 1 day or 2 days a week. We don't even show the church attenders and members who come on family night. And I cannot stress how important it is just to show up on family night in order to talk to people who do not go to church homes, whose kids are coming here. You know, just saying hello to them. Maybe, you know, handing out an ice cream cone to them as we're giving out ice cream, or handing out a paper bag of popcorn. These are things that these little things can make a big difference. And there are things that anybody can really do. In July, we also had our Operation Christmas Child shoebox packing party where we've collected things. And if you go out in the lobby, there's a Christmas tree that's right in front of the auditorium that has things that you can take in order to bring in supplies that we can start preparing for that party. In September, we had our Fall Back into Love concert. And again, it's hours and hours and hours of practice to prepare for that. And giving you an opportunity to invite your unchurched friends to come in and to just enjoy some wholesome, uplifting love songs. In November, we return it to full-scale collecting Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, not only from you, but from other churches as we are a collection center. Oh, I'm sorry. I was skipping earlier today. We had Trunk or Treat. Big event every year. And again, it's a multiple thing. People with cars, over 20 people brought their cars, decorated it. We have volunteers serving, and we have people who've donated lots of candy in order for us to give it out. So we really appreciate that. Then in November, we had Operation Christmas Child, and we collected all these shoe boxes from the immediate area. We actually had a truck this year that was really exciting to be able to do that. And notice all the people who show up to load a truck, which is helpful. But also during the week, every day, somebody has to be here to collect boxes. So it's just not a one-and-done kind of thing. You know, there's a lot involved into that. And when we have a big group that show up to to load up the truck, it just makes it such an easy work. The ladies had a luncheon in December. And also revealed their secret sister ministry that they have, where they have women that partner up. They don't know who each other are, but they're giving encouraging notes and gifts to one another throughout the year. So those are just those things that we do that are kind of the bigger events or the one-time events, or maybe they happen a couple times during the year. But there are things that are going on a regular basis. Like right now, Sunday celebration service. Now, it involves all kinds of things. It involves the praise team practicing. It involves the tech team getting things ready and trying to make sure that the sound and the video work right. It also involves, which most of you don't even see, are the nursery workers who are serving up the hallway so that we can provide child care for those who have small children. We also have children's church on the second and fourth Sundays. I know some churches don't have it, and some churches have it every week. We try to find the balance for that because we recognize there's two things at work here. Sometimes you just need, a parent just feels like they just need a break and to worship. We understand that. But we also understand that when children worship with their parents, they're more likely to stay in church as adults. You know, it's important for them to learn. So we try to balance that out of having the best of both aspects. Also, there's hospitality aspect that we have coffee. We have usually donuts or some granola bars in the back, waters. That has to be put out. That has to be cleaned up. So there's a lot that goes on sometimes that we forget about. Other things that we have are Sunday Bible studies, adult, youth, children, preschool. That means that we have teachers for them, but actually we could use some more teachers. We could just use helpers. Maybe you don't feel like you can be a teacher, but maybe you could come along and just be a helper. Just sit in the class with kids just to make sure that they're doing okay, maybe to, you know, go over some material with them, and not really leading it. Maybe that'll lead to you being a teacher one day, or maybe not. Both those are okay. But there's opportunities to serve. We're starting our young adult classes next week, which will be the first and third Sundays of the month, and we're very excited about that. We have ongoing ministries on Wednesday night. We have on the first and third Wednesdays, we have both a women's group that's been meeting for really a couple years now, and then we also have the men's group that will be starting this coming Wednesday. And so, again, we're kind of expanding a little bit about what we are up to. And, of course, I do the Wednesday night devotionals every Wednesday night, and I also do Zoom meetings and with people or sometimes with committee meetings or whatever, training. So those things are happening, and, you know, that sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. Our senior adult ministries are meet twice a month. On the second Wednesday, it's a more formal occasion of meeting. Then on the fourth Wednesday, it's mostly games and conversation. We have Wednesday night dinners. Second Wednesday is a youth fundraiser, which again helps to send the kids to youth camp, but we also have trivia night that night. Fourth Wednesday, it's just more casual, a dinner and conversation. So those are really the things that you see on a regular basis constantly. A few other things that are not quite as constant but still on a regular basis are things like the youth game night, where they come on a Friday night and play games. Our Soda Word Ministry that provides lap quilts and comfort pillows to those who are critically ill or who have cancer. And actually, a woman who just had some cancer surgery wrote us recently, talked about the pillow she received, from the ministry through Franklin Square Hospital, and how meaningful that was for her and the helper, especially where she's coughing, holding that up against her and, reducing the pain. So, there are this ways that people are being touched that sometimes we're not even aware of. And we also have a card ministry that a group of people come and make cards, and that you'll find them in the lobby free of charge for you to send out and encourage people. We have work days, usually three or four a year, and we average about maybe 10, 11 people. And if we're here for 4 hours, that's a full week of one person working, and it just enables us to get things done that we just cannot do on a regular basis. Help keep things looking better. And we also have people who come during the week to volunteer. Sometimes it's pain, sometimes it's putting things together, sometimes it's just helping in the office. And those are things that are meaningful and very helpful that you don't even know that's happening. And so I have an example of this. I only have an example of this because I took some pictures of it, and it just happened recently, and that's dealing with the sound booth. Now, the sound booth is right back there. That's where the guys are. It's not a penalty box. I know some people might think it's a penalty box, like in a hockey game. Hey, there's an idea. Anyway, we have the sound booth back there. And after 25 years, it kind of got kind of messy. And this is kind of what it looked like. This is on one side of it. You have wires hanging down. Just like every fire marshal's dream, looking at that, right? All the wires. And then you're coming back. Oh, yeah, we're glad that you can help us. You see that wire right in the middle that's hanging down that's kind of curved? Never touch that wire. And, so when you were looking at the sound booth, who would want to work back there but the bravest, right? So the guys, after 25 years of different people coming in and out, the group that we have back there now says, we really should do something about this. We need to work on it. So Tom, Craig, Rick, and Josh, a couple weekends ago, Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, because they were off on Monday, decided they were going to take 2 days and work on the sound booth. And you can see already there's stuff that's laying all around there. They bought a new countertop for there that's a little bit deeper that could actually hold things. And they had to cut it down and do some woodwork on that. And then they start putting things together. I came in on Monday, and here they were on their day off working, and it was just a mess. I'm like, oh boy, are you guys going to get this done? Yep, we're going to get it done. And so they literally gutted out that sound booth to get things done. And then when they put it all back together, this is what it looks like now. Isn't that just an amazing difference? How many of you knew they did that? Yeah, only a few of you. Yeah, the ones whose husbands were disappeared. Isn't that amazing? Actually, give them a hand for that. And, they need more people to help them from time to time. Because, a lot of times they don't get to sit with their family. I think their family would like them to sit with them once in a while. But, I forgot to ask them that. But I think one of them's going like this, maybe. It's every now and then, when I'm talking to them, they came up with a list of easiest things to the hardest things to do. We'll start with the easiest thing to do if you want to help them once in a while in the sound booth. The easiest thing, the absolutely easiest thing, number 6, push a button to advance the PowerPoint slides. All you have to do is just listen and go bloop, bloop. That's it. Really easy. The next thing that's easy, learn a new program. Really, PowerPoint's pretty easy. Some of the other programs that they have is not that hard. Fairly easy. Number 4, gets a little more difficult. It's sound mixing, making sure things are being said. I'm always giving my opinion here when they're sitting there and they're adjusting people's mics up on the thing as the singers are singing. And I'll say, this morning they were adjusting one person's mic. And they said, oh, how's that? I said, I don't know, I can still hear him. gift of encouragement. But, you know, it's all in fun. So, you know, they're adjusting that. The next, now we're starting to move into difficulty. It's the video control. Because we do broadcast this live. And so you have to know how to manage the cameras. There's a couple cameras back there, and you need to know that. A very difficult thing to do is to run cables. They run cables through the walls and under the floor. They have run cables from all the way back there, under the floor here, up through here, out through these holes, fished them around to get to get outlets where we need them for microphones and monitors and cameras. Isn't that amazing that they can do that? And then they said, and what was the number one difficult thing? What was that again, guys? Oh, yeah. Stay awake during a sermon. They said that is the toughest thing that they have to do back there. And so I'll be talking to them later. Anyway, so, you know, if you like to help them out, you know, if just once a month, once every other month, every other week, whatever it is, I'd like you to consider doing that. And we'll have an opportunity to talk about some other ministries, too. So let's look at some of the numbers, and, you know, we want to talk about being very transparent about what you gave and kind of how we went about using that money, because it's very important for us to be good stewards. We know that there's a lot of religious organizations that kind of get in trouble with their money, so we are very, very, very careful about this. So in just our general fund and giving, you gave $276,000. And giving last year, which is a few thousand dollars more than a year before, so thank you very much for doing that. We gave to two different organizations that are kind of mission-oriented, the Cooperative Program of the Southern Baptist Convention. We gave $7,400 to. We also gave $2,900 to the Baltimore Baptist Association. We believe that it's important for us not only to think locally, but also to give and think and pray globally. So we do local, and we want to do global. So we make sure that money gets sent to them to support missionaries and around the world. But it doesn't just stop there. We also give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which is for international missionaries. We do that every Christmas. We gave $2,700 this last year, which we're very excited about. Annie Armstrong is focused on North American missionaries. We gave $3,200 to help them. In benevolence offering that we take up every first Sunday of the month, we gave almost $10,700 to that. We have used almost all of that in helping those who are in financial need. So we've helped members, family, friends who have experienced some sort of critical need this year to the tune of $5,100. When you tell us when somebody's in need, it helps so much. It helps us to recognize the real need and being able to contribute to them. Now, I'm separating this one, a neighbor, for only $214 because this is just things that you don't know. Because we don't tell you who things are that we're, you know, who we're giving money to in this, because it can be a little embarrassing for people sometimes. Or we want to protect their, you know, anonymity. But we had a phone call from a neighbor who asked if her son could have a lemonade stand on our property to raise money for a friend who needed surgery, cancer surgery. And, well, you know, to be really honest, there's liability issues about granting permission for that. So we just say things like, yeah, we can't give you permission, but we can't help with what you might do. You know, we just like, if you do it, don't tell us. And so we were asking, well, how much money is he trying to raise? And she said, well, he just wants to raise $214. That's his goal. I thought, well, that's kind of accurate. So we talked to the deacons who oversee the benevolence ministry. And went, $214, absolutely. So we just called them back, said, well, wherever you have your lemonade stand, that's fine. But our church wants to give you the $214. Do you know what that impact that makes? You know, so that's one of the things that we really try to do. And we make sure to let people know. Actually, I got a note from somebody thanking me for the money that you gave to them. And I wrote them back a very nice letter and said, hey, you know, I just want you to know the money came because of the generosity of the people at White Marsh Baptist Church. You know, I wanted to make sure to focus on that. And so, you know, it's important for us to let people know it is from the church. It's a gift from the church in the name of Jesus Christ. You gave hurricane relief money of $1,800, and the youth fundraisers raised $2,500, helped send the youth to camp. Star Oaks Ministry, which helps with working with addicts and families of addicts, between special offering and just what we give out of the budget, we gave almost $7,400 this year, so good for you. The Center for Pregnancy Concern, we gave $1,300 to. Operation Christmas Child, $1,700. And the Frederick Mission was $430. Now, the Frederick Mission, I know it's kind of up there and, you know, far away, but our youth got involved with them on a mission trip one summer. And now for years, we've been working with them and helping them. And our youth go up there a few times every year to help them in what they do. So, you know, it's what you gave to the youth mission fund, youth camp fund, helped send some youth to camp. They went on this mission trip. Now they're working with this mission, and now we're funding that mission. See how all things kind of work together? And it's really exciting when you start putting those pieces together. And sometimes we just don't know that's happening. That's why it's important to look back. As I mentioned, we did the parking lot for $70,000. We knew that was coming. We knew we had to do that. But what we did not know was that we were going to need a new roof because the roof over the office area was in imminent danger of failing. And so that was $2,500 because it's a flat roof. Why did they put a flat roof over there? I don't know. I wasn't here for that. But they put a flat roof there. And but we had the money. We had the money because you have allowed God's generosity flow through you, and we've been very good stewards. And let me just tell you, Angie, our office administrator, she can negotiate like no one. So if you ever need something negotiated, let her do it for you. Give her 10% of what you save. That's and you'll save a lot. We also had to update our alarm system because I was getting more calls in the middle of the night. And it just, the alarm system was 20 years old and failing. So it's almost $4,000 just to replace that. And I'm very grateful because now my phone does not ring at 2 in the morning. And I'm looking, okay, do I need to go to the church? Do I need to take the dog with me? You know, those are the things that you have to do at 2 in the morning when you're trying to decide if you want to call the police or you want to check it out on your own. So we're glad about that. Utilities. Utilities last year cost us electric, gas, water, almost $23,000. That's just a lot of money. And so we try to be very careful about how we spend it. You know, like we turn lights off, we do a variety of things, but it's just getting expensive. It's going to get more expensive this next year. Insurance, $7,750. That includes liability. It's like these mundane things, but we have to do that, you know. So, and the sewer tax, we don't have to pay too much tax, but we have to pay sewer tax, and that's $1,300 every year. So again, just remind you, last year you gave $276,000. We thank you. This next year our budget is actually $310,000. That's a little bit of a challenge for us. We never spend the full budget because we negotiate things down and we find other ways of getting things done without actually tapping into the budget. One of the biggest way that we do that is through volunteer hours. When you come and work, whether it's one time or multiple times during the week, during the year, it just saves us a whole lot of money. $59,200 we figured last year when we figured out all the people who came on a regular basis, on semi-regular basis. We add up those hours and we multiplied it by 16. I know we've been doing 15 over the last couple of years. I gave you a raise. So we figured it into $16 an hour. So really we could say it's worth a lot more. But look at that, almost $60,000 in volunteer hour work worth. And that makes a huge difference. And that's what's kind of being a part of a church is about, is everyone recognizing that we have something to give. So let's go back and talk about this, our whole idea of being a part of the church. It's about being known. And again, remember, it's a two-way street. It's not only we want people to know who we are, but we want to know others. And how do we do that? Sometimes it's as simple as just attending a Bible study. You don't even have to talk. You can just sit there and listen. Or you might want to share what you think. It doesn't matter, but you just attend. You don't have to teach it. You don't have to lead it. You don't have to do anything. Another thing that you could do is come on Wednesday night dinners, because really, dinner conversations are a great opportunity to catch up on people or maybe get into a line of questioning that you would like to pursue with someone. On some of the Wednesday nights, come and play trivia. You learn a lot about when you're playing trivia with somebody, let me just tell you. And so just come out and play trivia with the people. Hang out after the service. There's coffee. There's usually donuts or something afterwards. Hang out. Just grab a cup of coffee, hang out, and visit. Or come to a work day. Sometimes just coming to a work day and doing a project together. I've watched friendships build over that, as people are just doing different things. Sometimes it's just making sure the ladder is steady as people climb to get the lights changed in here. So that's ways that you can be known. And there's other ways, too, that you can think of and be creative. So maybe one of the goals this coming year for you is, I need to know people a little bit better. And I want people to know me a little bit better. And I'm going to do something about that. There's also the idea of belonging. We'd love that for everyone who comes and that you're a regular attender. That's very important, and we love that. But maybe you're starting to think, well, maybe I need to take the next step and become a member. Well, there's three ways that you can do that. One is by profession of faith. That means that you're coming, making a statement of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you're seeking biblical baptism. Now, when we talk about biblical baptism, we talk about immersion. That means underwater. That we don't keep you down there long, but we baptize you underwater and we bring you up. And that symbolizes that you have died to the old way of life and you're raised to walk anew. It's just symbolic. It's identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is also the way that they baptized in the Bible. And actually, from history, what we know from archaeology, it's the way that they baptized in the Old Testament, too. You could come by transfer of letter. You might have belonged to a church, a Baptist church, or some church that has similar beliefs than we do. You have been baptized by immersion, and oftentimes a church will grant a letter. We'll write a letter, say, "Yep, so and so has been a great member here, good serve, a good member in good standing, and we wish them well as they seek the Lord's guidance and will in your church." So that's another way. Another way is that some churches will not give a letter, so you might want to come as a statement of faith that you have confessed Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you've been biblically baptized and have been, by a church of like faith, similar beliefs than we do. So those are three ways that you can do that. And the way that you can let us know that that's what you'd like to do is on the connection card. You can put it on the connection card, or you can call us or email us to say, I just want to talk about this. Or maybe the next time that we offer a membership class, which will be pretty soon, you can attend that. And attending it does not mean that you're committing to membership. It just means you're committed to figuring out if you should join or not. So we want you to be in prayer about that. So that's belonging. And then also becoming. Remember Priscilla and Aquila? They're our examples. Remember hospitality. They were just hospitable. They welcomed Paul in their home. Then they welcomed the church in their home. They were encouraging. I mean, Paul certainly found them encouraging if he took them with him. And Apollos was encouraged by them, and they were willing to disciple him to the best of their abilities, of what knowledge that they had. They discipled Apollos. Then also they were very discreet. They weren't interested in making embarrassing Apollos because it's something he didn't know. And so they were very careful about that. So how do we do this? Well, just like they did. We just use the talents and abilities that we're familiar with. Wherever we're at, we begin. But we want to also help you develop them to become who you are. And that means living in community with fellow believers. And having fellow believers be able to speak to you and you to speak to them and encouraging them and lifting them up and helping them to become the people of God that God has called them to be. Share your faith with seekers. You're afraid a lot of times, they might ask questions I don't know. That's okay. I still get questions I don't know. And when I don't know, I just say, I'll have to look that up for you and come back with you. Somebody at the gym a couple weeks ago was asking me some questions. I said, that doesn't sound right, but let me get back to you about that. So I went back, I did some research, and I went to see him a couple days later, and I said, so here it is. And I just laid out the information for him. We also invite the unchurched to your church with you. Don't invite people who are already going to church. There's plenty that are out there who aren't going to church. I never like it when people are trying to get people to go from our church to their church. Every now and then I'll tell the story about some pastor came to our house when we first moved here, tried to get Lisa and the family leave our church to go to their church, even though he knew I was the pastor. Yeah, I wasn't really happy, let me just tell you about that. You know, that's just inappropriate. Give to support the mission of your church. You know, we really do appreciate that. If you've never given, give something. Just give something. Dollar, $10, whatever it is. If you do give something once in a while, maybe think about giving on a regular basis. Whatever regular basis means, once a quarter, once a month, once a week, I don't know. That's up to you to pray about. And then maybe give a little bit more if you're already regularly giving. And whatever that looks like, whatever you believe that God wants you to have, whatever God wants you to do. That's part of becoming. And then becoming is being part of ministries. And there's a whole lot of ministries. There's deacon ministry. In one way, if you don't feel like you can be a deacon, there's nominating deacons, and you'll see information in the program about that. We also have teaching and youth ministry and young adult ministry, men's and women's ministries. You know, you might find a leadership position that maybe you can be involved in, or maybe just a helper. It is okay. One team that we're going to be looking at very seriously this year of adding is our On Mission team. Which we are very excited to do. We, if you look in the budget at the back, you'll see our missions category, and that's for our church to do both local and foreign and global kind of missions. We have quite a bit of money there. A lot of people have designated their money to that, and we appreciate that. And we want to be able to spend it wisely. But the thing to understand mostly, too, is that a lot of the mission effort comes out of our general giving. We could not do what we do if it wasn't for our general giving. And we really appreciate that. Or is there times that, you know, for the special giving? Absolutely. Like if you would like to help with the building fund because we spent almost $100,000 out of it, it's not very much there. If you notice in that budget sheet, it's not very much in there now. So maybe you'd like to shift some designated giving over to that for a month or two. That would be helpful. But again, it's just regular giving. But we want an on-mission team to help us to think about outreach for our church, things that we can do to impact the community a little more effectively and efficiently. We have a stewardship team that meets, and we really look hard at how we spend the money and make sure that we do things well. VBS, always looking for volunteers. And so we want to continue a VBS ministry. We need volunteers. Personnel team, praise team, tech team, hospitality, general maintenance, call, writing to people, so to word, and things that aren't even on here. There are things that we want to encourage you to look at, to be a part of. And maybe there's not anything in there. You go, well, I don't see a fit for me in any of those. Well, maybe there's something we need to start, and you can talk to us about that because we are very open about that. Because what we really want is you to use your vocation to be a good steward of your vocation in your church. And does it extend to your church? Remember, what is our vocation? But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is our calling. And what's the purpose of the church? Well, Tyler Edwards, who wrote Zombie Church, you know, crazy name, great book, Zombie Church, he said this: the church is the theater in which God chooses to display his awesome glory. The vocation that we have as Christians perfectly fits and aligns with the purpose of the church. And we are here to help you to be a good steward of that. We need you to be a good steward of that. And we want to serve together because when we work together, we can do amazing things for Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you that we can come and kind of take a look at what you have done this past year and anticipate this next year. We thank you for your generosity that flows through the faithfulness of those who attend here. And we will never, ever want to take them for granted. We ask that as we consider what we will do as a people, as individuals for this next year, that you would show us what our next step is. What is it that you would like us to do? What is that next step? Is it just to find out information about a ministry or membership? Maybe it's actually to become involved in a Bible study or in an ongoing ministry. Whatever it is, Father, I just ask that you would show us to us today and let us resolve that we will do it, even if it's just starting to ask questions and praying about it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.